All right, I'll go ahead and introduce our next speaker, Tyson Raper. He's going to talk to us about remote sensing for nitrogen management.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Again, my name is Tyson Raper. I did my master's under Dr. Jack Varco, and I'm currently working on my PhD under Dr. Derek Oosterhaus. Under both of these programs, I've been working on remote sensing for nitrogen management, at least at some capacity. This is going to be a fairly basic talk. I plan to emphasize some relationships between wavelength, simple ratios, and leaf nitrogen status. We'll start at the leaf scale and then move to the canopy scale, and then talk a little bit about some index relationships, spatial and point applications of those relationships. And I'll put a particular emphasis on index development and testing, as that's where the majority of my research has been. So as many of you well know, and Mr. Burmeister mentioned, nitrogen in cotton production is going to be the most yield-restricting nutrient. I don't want to berate these points. All of you have heard this over the past few days. We know that excessive nitrogen causes rank growth, boll rot, harvesting difficulties, a range of increased need for growth regulators, insecticides, defoliants, and then we have some environmental hazards associated with over applications. It is applied in the largest quantity, and therefore it composes a large percent of input costs, which are tied to energy costs. So Mr. Burmeister, I left Tennessee Valley Research Station, headed to the Greenbrier to get some barbecue, and past this field in North Alabama. And you can see on the screen, we've got some deficiency symptoms out there, differences in maturity. We're going to have some differences in nitrogen demand across this field. So made it back to Fayetteville, opened up Google Earth, and looked at this field, and obviously we're not going to have this much variability in all fields, but this is a highly variable field. Nitrogen demand across this field is going to be quite variable, and I feel strongly that remote sensing has a role to play in directing nitrogen to fields like this and more uniform fields. So what is remote sensing? Well, NASA defines remote sensing to be the art of identifying, observing, or measuring an object without coming into direct contact with it. When I think of remote sensing, the first thing I think of is satellite imagery. And this is a satellite image of the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico, touching back on some of those environmental hazards of over-applications. But remote sensing doesn't have to be satellite-based. It can be ground-based. We could be using proximal sensors to measure the canopy. We feel strongly that if we can correlate reflectance with chlorophyll content and nitrogen status, this would give us the ability to measure cotton in status in real time, which has some very large benefits or advantages over soil and tissue testing, mainly the spatial density. This would allow us to distribute fertilizer nitrogen resources based on the perceived spatial demand and optimize nitrogen use efficiency. So most of us know what a nitrogen deficiency looks like. On the left side of the screen, we have deficiency. On the right side of the screen, we have sufficiency. As you can see, we've got stunted growth, some chlorotic growth on the left side. On the right side, lush green growth, really healthy cotton. We can see it, and the sensors can measure it. And from a canopy standpoint, not to get too far ahead of myself, but the light green, this is a spectral response curve. The light green would be a nitrogen deficient plot. The dark green would be a nitrogen sufficient, and we see some definite differences in these two spectrum signature curves. I do want to point, if you can remember back to physics, around 450 we're talking about blue. If we move to 550, we're talking about green. 650, 670, we're moving more into red. This region we call the red edge or the red shoulder, and then after we move past 700, 720, really 780, we get into the near infrared. And I'm going to be referring to these regions, blue, green, red, near infrared, and the red edge throughout the rest of this talk. So my main objective was to outline the current status of remote sensing for nitrogen management in cotton. while placing a particular emphasis on recently conducted studies. And in order to do this, I am going to lay some groundwork and talk about some early studies concerning the leaves. So I do want to start at the leaf scale with wavelength relationships. Nippling conducted a really nice review in 1970, and he talked about leaf and canopy reflectance. Concerning the leaf, he found that the visible spectrum was influenced by physiological factors. So abiotic, biotic stresses would cause decreases in chlorophyll, and this would decrease the initial visible absorption. Concerning the near-infrared, he found that the spectrum was only influenced by physical factors. So this is largely influenced by internal cellular structure and water content, which diffuses and scatters the light through the cuticle, epidermis, mesophyll cells, and air spaces. What I really want to point out here is, at the leaf scale, chlorophyll is almost invisible to near-infrared light. So if we have increases or decreases in chlorophyll, that's not really going to influence our near-infrared reflection. And there are many studies that show this at the leaf scale. This is from Fridgen and Barco in 2004. If we look at the green region, we see some differences here at 550. And this is reflectance on the y-axis, wavelength on the x-axis. We see some differences here between treated and untreated. But when we get up into the near-infrared, they're almost the same. So this is an important factor, and I'll touch back on this when we move to the canopy scale. Thomas and Gossman in 1977 looked at a sand culture nutrient solution study with variable N status, and they found that, again, the green 550 was very sensitive, highly correlated to chlorophyll content, and this more strongly correlated to chlorophyll content than either 450 or 670. More recently, Scagli and Varco monitored leaf reflectance from cotton grown in a greenhouse under variable N status conditions. This is a fairly small data set. I can't remember offhand. I believe it was 20 or 24 points. But again, they found 550 to be very sensitive, and they also highlighted the red edge at 700 and 728 to correlate very strongly to leaf nitrogen. And they did make one other observation. And this is, I'll touch more on this when we move to the canopy scale. But at second week of square, they don't see the differences in 550 and the near infrared as strong as they do at the second week of flower. We have to get to a certain point in the growing season before these relationships, these efficiencies become large enough to really be able to detect them with a sensor. Tarpley et al. Conducted some research under growth chamber. They monitored hyperspectral data, and they noted that ratios which included both the red edge and the near-infrared correlated very strongly to total nitrogen, but these were the only ratios with which good precision and good accuracy was noted. And this is a fairly complex graph. These authors are looking at simple ratios, so we're talking about one wavelength divided by another wavelength. Wavelength 1 on the x-axis, you can see either 700 or 716. Here we have dark full boxes, solid panel squares, and on this y-axis you can see all the way from 755 to 1000 nanometers, we see these solid panel squares. Solid panel squares were defined by the authors to mean good precision and good accuracy. So the two things that we did need would be the red edge and the near-infrared region. Reed et al. Conducted similar study concerning large outdoor pots, and again monitored hyperspectral data. Two parameters that they were looking at were leaf nitrogen chlorophyll concentration. Between the two of these parameters, they did highlight 585 right there on the very lowest point of the red edge, and then almost into the near infrared at 755. They did note shifts from leaf nitrogen to chlorophyll concentration, so the relationships were slightly different between these two different parameters. But concerning was the relatively poor relationship with coefficient of determination for leaf nitrogen of 0.38 and coefficient of determination for chlorophyll concentration of 0.56 with relatively simple ratios utilizing the red edge. And this is the method that most authors use to display this type of data. We have reflectance, the coefficient of determination on the y-axis, a wavelength on the x-axis. Peaks here would indicate very strong sensitivities. Apologize that it's that small. I did point out the main points here, but they did use simple ratios, 755 divided by the x-axis wavelength and 705 divided by the x-axis wavelength. But we're starting to see a trend here of looking at the green regions and the red edge. So moving from controlled growth chambers and greenhouses into the field, Zhou et al. Looked at the hyperspectral data from 400 to 2500 nanometers. Parameters of interest here did include fertilizer nitrogen. I wanted to point out that the sensitivity here was 550 and 710, and from fertilizer nitrogen to chlorophyll concentration, these relationships are almost exactly the same. So the same wavelengths detected differences in fertilizer nitrogen and chlorophyll concentration. We did see a slight shift downward when we look at sensitivity to the leaf nitrogen. But again, we're still within that same region of the green and the near-infrared. The authors did also examine the relationship with reflectance and mepiquat chloride, but they did not find significant effects nor consistent effects. And this is actually raw reflectance data on the y-axis and then wavelength on the x-axis. And you can see the peaks when we look at the differences between the deficient leaf and the sufficient leaf, and then sensitivity to N-rate in both 2001 and 2002, the 2 years of the study, 550 and 710 were the peaks noted in both of these graphs. So to really conclude on leaf scale relationships, the consistent trends suggest that the green and red edge region are very sensitive to chlorophyll and leaf nitrogen, but we do see some slight variations in maximum wavelength sensitivity to these two parameters. And none of these studies highlighted the near-infrared as very sensitive to chlorophyll content, although simple ratios did tend to increase correlation with parameters of interest. So moving from the leaf scale to the canopy scale, obviously there's a lot of, more factors in the canopy scale. Nippling et al., again, he emphasized even at the canopy scale we should see some shifts in visible reflectance, again due to the physiological factors that I mentioned before. But he noted that at the canopy scale, decreases in NIR absorption or reflection are largely going to be a function of fewer leaf layers and an influence of soil background or an increase in background exposure. And this is often the main response noted from the canopy reflectance devices. And this graph on the right is from some of the research out of Mississippi State that we did. The red line represents early square, and the black line represents peak flower. Early square at the top here, peak flower at the bottom. So you can see reflectance decreases in the visible region as we move. This is a single treatment as we move through the growing season. NIR reflectance increases, and basically what Nippling is saying here is that this, you can see this massive increase in near-infrared reflectance. This is a function of leaf layers and not necessarily an increase in chlorophyll content. We can see that this is just one snapshot, one treatment. Two treatments at one point in the growing season. The nitrogen deficient and nitrogen sufficient plots that I showed earlier. Very small differences in the visible spectrum. Very, very large differences in the near infrared spectrum. Further supporting Nippling's claim. Reed et al. Conducted some more canopy reflectance work, looking at hyperspectral data. They did note a substantial increase in near-infrared reflectance compared to the leaf. Again, supporting Nippling's claim, this is additive reflectance, according to the authors. But they did note that nitrogen deficiency had little to no effect on the density of leaves or the number of leaf layers. And this is a concern in that biomass increase to this reflectance, not necessarily nitrogen content. Still, and to much of the surprise of the authors, canopy reflectance was more sensitive to nitrogen parameters than the leaf. And so we were talking about relationships of 0.38, 0.56 at the leaf scale. We increased these relationships to 0.7 and 0.72 with the parameters of interest leaf nitrogen and chlorophyll concentration. Again, we do note a slight shift in wavelength sensitivities up. And then this is the same format as the previous graph. We have coefficient determination on the y-axis, wavelength on the x-axis, and you can see peaks at 410, 605, and 700 when we look at a simple ratio using 415 and then reflectance at 585 and 710, we see some peaks. Again, these trends are fairly consistent. Now, this is some research that we did at Mississippi State. This is an average across the 3 years of data and multiple physiological periods right around flowering. I really wanted to examine the relationships between the wavelengths and these four parameters of interest. And to set this graph up, each one of these points, I had six sampling dates. I'd go out into the field, collected 20 wavelengths, and then I ranked these wavelengths 1 to 20. So number 1 would be the most strongly correlated to the parameter of interest. Number 20 would be the weakest correlated to the parameter of interest. With that said, starting with leaf nitrogen concentration, we found that the red edge was consistently higher correlated to leaf nitrogen concentration than any other wavelength that we monitored. We did note strength of the 550 region. When we moved to plant height, we noticed a shift of red edge to it's almost useless, very poorly correlated, but we see a very strong relationship of the red region to plant height. So if we're using NDVI sensors that are sensitive to plant height, they may not be telling us a whole lot of information about actual nitrogen concentration, maybe more biomass. Relationship holds at lint yield and for total nitrogen content with sensitivity of the near infrared and the green regions. So I've been talking about wavelengths and simple ratios. To move more into indice relationships, and this is what most researchers are using, these indices usually incorporate some type of normalization procedure, such as NDVI, which I'm sure most of you are aware of, the NDRE, and the Canopy Chlorophyll Content Index, CCCI, which I've worked extensively with. Basically, what we're doing is we're measuring the reflectance at only a few points throughout this signature curve, and then we're making inferences on the entire curve. There's a major division here in researchers, and I was hoping that Dr. Arnall would be here. I don't see him in the audience. We kind of go back and forth on these two different types of approaches. The first I'll label as the Oklahoma State approach requires an infield calibration, and this requires some type of a control strip in each field, either an enriched strip or a calibration strip. This does not require a very stable index, and I'll define stable in another few other slides, but it's currently applicable. We can use this approach right now. We must recalibrate at established interval times throughout the day, and there are some arguments for even developing a more nitrogen-sensitive index in this approach, but again, it is applicable today. In contrast, I find myself in this camp most frequently. We have the no infield calibration camp, and this requires a very stable index across growing seasons, throughout the growing season. It must be calibrated with a very robust database, but we would probably end up using some limited number of control strips. Most importantly, this is not currently applicable. So indices that are available now with active sensors, these indices are not available with active sensors, but we do hope it is somewhere off in the future. With that said, this is an image from Oklahoma State. You can see the sensors actually located on the toolbar. They're using these methods now. And this is an image my dad found out of an ARS lab in Auburn. You know, we're just somewhere out there, off in the future. We're this approach, the no infill calibration, is definitely not applicable now. With that said, I'll start with the infill calibration approach or a sufficiency index. Multiple authors under subsurface irrigated and fertilizer injected conditions have examined this approach. They establish a sufficient control, usually based on soil nitrate, test-based nitrogen recommendations. and then measure reflectance of the control and treatment weekly. And they found either the GVI or NDVI are very useful. If the treatment reading falls below the control, they apply nitrogen. And results for these studies, just to summarize, they reduce the applied nitrogen with absolutely no yield penalties, and they have very high nitrogen recovery rates. This is the ideal situation. If we can spoon feed cotton and measure reflectance weekly, we're going to drastically increase our nitrogen use efficiency. But that doesn't help us in the rest of the cotton belt. So most of the cotton production is not going to be fertigated. So some of the work out of Missouri, Olivier et al., looked at three soils in 2 years of data. They did look at three sensors, and they recommend a simple ratio of the either visible and near infrared or the NDVI index. And they were unable to detect differences between 650, 590, and 560 nanometers. And I'll explain that here in a little bit. They did note stronger relationships with the economically optimum nitrogen rate at mid-square and early flower compared to early square. And the relationships, the strongest relationships through the growing season were generally 0.59 or 0.62. They found that mid-square and early flower regression equations were not significantly different, so they argued that we could combine these equations. They did note some potential of the green near infrared, and although this study was not designed to test delayed nitrogen applications, they did find a little bit of evidence to suggest that it would be possible to delay the nitrogen application at least to early bloom, if not a little bit past early bloom. Some of the research that I've done on an infill calibration strip, I used three sensors. This was at one location in Mississippi State. We noted a quadratic response of yield to nitrogen rate in each year, indicated we did have a good, strong nitrogen response. But unfortunately, we had to conduct an analysis by year and by sampling date due to variability within the growing season of absolute NDVI values. We also noted very strong relationships of NDVI to plant height, as I mentioned earlier, concerning the red region. And these relationships were generally anywhere from 0.62 to 0.95. Compared to the relationships of NDVI to leaf nitrogen, these relationships were much stronger. So this was concerning in that NDVI seemed to be more sensitive to plant height than it was to actual nitrogen status. Although the relationship here is roughly 0.6, it's moderate, I think most would argue, but we want it to be a little bit stronger than that. More recently, Redo et al., I believe in Oklahoma, two locations in 2 years, looked at nitrogen and NDVI response. At first flower, they noted similar relationships that we did, poor relationships, 0.35 in the first year of the study, 0.68 in the second year of the study, and then at the second site, very poor relationships. But the main objective of this study was not to examine nitrogen response, an NDVI response to nitrogen, but it was to determine the ability of cotton to recover from an early season nitrogen deficiency. And there was a question asked just a minute ago about that. These authors found that if they applied a very low pre-plant fertilizer, 0 to 33 kilograms per hectare, they were able to delay the application of side dress to first flower. And so if they applied, they were able to see the deficiency, make an application. As long as that application was made by first flower, they were able to protect their yield. And this is, obviously there's some risk associated with this, but I'm encouraged by these results from a nitrogen remote sensing standpoint. Now, I've been talking about spatial data. I did want to point out one point measurement that we've been working on. This is out of Arkansas. This program was developed by Dr. Purcell and Robert Rory. It was developed on corn, and now this is an app on your iPhone. It's available from Spectrum Technologies. Basically, you take a picture of a leaf with a digital camera or your smartphone, but you are forced to use a smart standard board with a yellow and green circles on it. The program actually processes the photo. You can see in the upper right corner, it recognizes the two standards as circles, and then whatever else is in the photo, it recognizes that as leaf matter. We found very strong relationships between this method and SPAD readings. At the bottom right side, you can see, well, I had three different angles. One was a laboratory where I harvested two leaves and took a direct shot of the two leaves in the laboratory. I had an off nadir where I stood the board up in the field and took a picture across the row. And then I had a nadir where I actually laid the board flat on top of the row. Relationships of laboratory DGCI and the SPAD meter were very strong at 0.914. So this is a fairly small data set, one sampling point, one sampling date, but I'm happy with this relationship. So we moved to nadir, worse relationships at 0.68, and then the off nadir, which I think is the most feasible or most applicable, we had relationships at 0.818. I'm fairly happy with that relationship. Of concern, though, were much weaker relationships of these DGCI values and leaf nitrogen. These ranged from 0.44 to 0.603, and the greatest being the laboratory photo, which is probably not going to be something you're going to convince your consultants or producers to do. With that, I wanted to move into the more futuristic aspect, if you will, and the part that I'm really excited about concerning the index development and testing. This is again the same data set, but I'm that we collected in Mississippi State. But I'm looking more at index relationships now, different indices that we've calculated, and then that relationship with parameters of interest. It's a lot of graphs. I want to point out two. The first would be the relationships of NDVI to total nitrogen content, fairly poor. If we move to NDVI and leaf nitrogen concentration, extremely poor. But plant height, it fairly correlates strongly to plant height. In contrast, this simplified canopy chlorophyll content index correlates moderately to total nitrogen content, a relationship of 0.605, fairly moderately with leaf nitrogen content at 0.619. And relatively poorly with plant height at 0.101. I don't want to say that the simplified canopy chlorophyll content index is the solution, but it does appear to do a better job at detecting nitrogen stress than NDVI does. I mentioned stability, and I'm running out of time. One of the concerns is a threshold value, the development of a threshold and established of that over a number of conditions. This is at one location in 3 years. As you can see, days after planting is on the x-axis. As we move through time, NDVI steadily increases. And this is a very well-known fact that NDVI increases through the growing season. It's difficult to establish a threshold. The application window, if we were to establish a threshold, is very narrow. Concerning CCCI, again, this is not by any means the absolute solution, but we do see a little more stability across time with this index. I think I'm running out of time. I have some potassium work I'd like to talk about, but unfortunately I'm not going to be able to talk about that. Moving into a summary, we did see at the wavelength scale sensitivity of the green and redhead regions, moderate sensitivity to NDVI, to end status at the canopy scale. The general relationship was around 0.6. Multiple studies indicated the relationship was strong enough to more efficiently direct fertilizer nitrogen than uniform applications. There was actually a study yesterday that presented similar results to this. But I would argue that these relationships can be stronger. And some evidence that we found suggests the red edge may increase this relationship. Concerning index trends, we feel that a broad threshold reflectance value is not going to be practical at this time. But to emphasize just general cotton trends, we do feel that multiple studies have suggested that cotton can recover from early deficiency without a yield penalty, therefore supporting the on-the-go fertilizer applications that we'd have to have with these remote sensing technologies. which again, just restate what I said, you know, physiological standpoint, I think cotton is a very good crop for sensor-driven nitrogen. Right now, we're going to have to use NDVI sensors. That's what we've got. These can definitely increase nitrogen use efficiency, but we feel that the next sensors, the sensors that will be coming out in the next few months, should greatly strengthen these relationships.
And all right, we have time for one question for Tyson. Obviously, you can talk to him afterwards if there's no question. If you don't want to ask the question now. All right, well, thank you, Tyson.